All right, Reg, are you all set to go?
All right, cool.
What do you say we do a little podcasting then, huh? All right, put it in the books here. Episode 487. And I'll give you the three S's, and then I'll give you the countdown, and we'll get started, all right? Right? You just got one button to push from now on. Just hit that record button when after I do the countdown, okay? All right, my friend, let's do this thing. Thumbs up. Star, smile, strong. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget, while it's important to listen to the podcast, it's just as important to get out there and tell your friends and family and anybody who listens to a podcast to tell them that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Get out there and spread the word. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. And of course, if you like what you hear, you can always go to WGNRadio.com, hit the prompt for podcasts, and then hit the prompt for this specific podcast, and there you will find tons and tons and tons of podcasts from the last 3-4 years dating back to, my gosh, probably, what are we in the early 2020s, perhaps even. Just load more and scroll down and just keep doing that. It's always fun to find out where we've been so you know where we're going. We've been around here for almost 10 years and almost 500 podcasts because this is number 486. No, sorry. 487. I'm cheating myself on an extra one. No, this is 487, folks. 487. Yeah, put it in the book. Sorry about that, Reg. Did you put it in the book? Good, okay. Then I just screwed up. I'm still getting used to not having that music behind me, but as I told you a few podcasts ago, we got into some weird little musical use issue with podcasts now today. Everybody's buckling down and I used to use Elton John music at the beginning and the end of the podcast, and apparently can't do that anymore. And so I just didn't want to use generic music. I didn't want to be talking to you at the opening with some generic Match Game 74 music behind me. No. So I'd rather do it without. It was before it was cool. It had, you know, an Elton John connection to it, considering this is the Elton Jim Captain Podtastic podcast. But if I can't use the Elton music, then I'd rather just go unplugged, which is the cool thing sometimes too anyway, right? So anyway, interesting thing happened to me a couple of times over the last couple of weeks or so, enough so that I thought it might be interesting to share with you as we continue this almost 10-year dialogue. Hopefully there's more than just you and me talking to each other. Hopefully there's a you and me, and the you are millions of people. The me is just me. But hopefully that you out there is you personally, but also the universal you. Hopefully there's tens of millions of people out there. I don't think there are, but I like to think about it. I sometimes like to imagine it. I might really literally just be talking to you. I don't really know. It might just be you and me, okay? But hopefully it sounds that way or feels that way. But, you know, just for the sake of spreading the word a little, I'd hope that there was more than just you. But if that's just you, that's fine. One person is an audience, okay? So that's the way I look at it. So thank you for listening. But yeah, something happened over the last couple of weeks that really dawned on me, and I'm like, well, you know, wow, that I never thought of that. And, you know, it's so funny, in our daily lives, we encounter so many people that we don't even think about it half the time. We just go about our business. I mean, there's people everywhere, for the most part, where you go, unless you stay in your house. You're bound to to encounter somebody somewhere as soon as you step out the door. in one way or the other, whether it's formal, informal, whether it's deliberate or by accident, whether you're walking past them or driving past them or driving behind them or in a grocery store or wherever it is, you're going to see people, right? I mean, come on. But a lot of times we don't really pay attention to the people that we encounter. So many of we have our good friends, obviously, and our family and the people we work with and people we see socially. And so we've got this network of people that we know and are comfortable with and we see on a regular basis. And we consider them, you know, if, aside from family who are related, we consider them friends. Sometimes there's friends that you see every day. Sometimes there's friends you see every week. Sometimes there's friends you see every month. Sometimes there's friends you only see once a year, but you still consider them friends. You know those people that you have in your lives where you haven't seen them in many months or many years. And as soon as you talk to them, it's like you never missed a beat. And then there's people you see every day. Maybe it's at work or your neighbor or whoever it is, and you can't even keep up a 4-minute conversation before saying, "Well, I appreciate it. Well, take care." So the way we communicate, the way we connect with people, it's a very interesting dynamic in how that works. But there's no question that that shared interests and familiarity, being in the same place, you know, regular routine, certainly adds to the possibilities of, you know, creating relationships and friendships. As I said, I'm taking family things out of this because those are in many ways, I don't want to use this word because it does sound a little ominous. I mean, they're imposed on us, if you will. I don't mean to say that your family's imposed on you, especially if you have good relations with all your family members. I don't want to say that, but that's a natural thing. We inherit our family. We don't choose our family. That's a, you know, in fact, now that's a very common phrase, especially used in the gay community about a chosen family, because sadly many people that you know have been ostracized or estranged from their family for their sexual orientation, and so they seek out friends with the same kinds of beliefs and interests, and those become their chosen family, and that's become a very popular phrase now, especially for people that have felt that kind of alienation within their own family. But as I said, we inherit our families. We are automatically part of them. Now, whether we have good relations with them, that's another question. There's always a question of a different bond between family and friends. Friends we choose. Right? Family, we are given. We are inherited to them. And sometimes we have people that are friends of ours who are closer to us than the people that are related. As I said, the human being, and especially in relationships, very complex species. No question about that. But I'm just talking about friends at this point and how we find them, how we choose them. They come in all, you know, the chance to make a friend, it comes in so many different, opportunities. Now, before social media, obviously, was a whole different kind of way. And certainly in today's world, while we categorize people as friends, right, on Facebook, they wisely at the very beginning of the platform, they the people that, you know, to make it more welcoming, to make it more family-like, to make it more embracing and welcoming, the people at Facebook called your followers friends. They weren't just followers. Followers is a nice word. It's a little distant, but friends is certainly a much more warm and fuzzy word. And I think Facebook was very smart in calling it friends, just to make it more of a community. Of course, that was the original idea of Facebook. And even though Facebook and Instagram and things like that have become much wider in scope in terms of the reach And the entire social media aspect has certainly expanded from what it started. It started as this kind of small little, as I said before, the whole idea was to create these communities. And now it seems like that has been seriously corrupted. As it's expanded, it's literally, it might have been this this very optimistic utopian ideal of this worldwide, community, and in some ways, it does achieve that. We are globally connected today. And so in theory, we can, and perhaps you even do, have friends around the world. Maybe some that you have literally had personal contact with that you continue to keep in touch with. Much easier to do that than it was in the past with writing letters or things like that. So there's no question about that. But at the same time, we can always question the friends that we have online, and that could be put in quotes. Because there's a lot of negativity out there in terms of how social media is used. And somebody could pretend to be a friend or be someone, and they might have completely ulterior motives. And so we sort of have to put our guard up. It's a very interesting dynamic, once again, this whole idea of friends. In my view, I've got, on Facebook, I've got a Facebook page, I've got almost 3,000 friends. If I went through the list of the actual names, I don't know how many of those people I actually know or have some real contact with or even some personal contact with. I'm sure that number would be very small. So the term friend has changed over the years and has expanded as we have expanded our reach to connect with people. That only makes sense, but certainly the term friend has been somewhat not only changed in definition, but the idea of a friend and the personal contact and personal closeness has been somewhat diluted. Now, you can argue that, hey, I've got some online friends, and even though I've never met them in person, we talk every day, and we communicate every day, and we share pictures, and we share thoughts, and these people online are probably closer friends to me than the people that I've known since high school, and maybe that's true, and hopefully that's true. That would be great if that's true. I'm just saying that there is an element out there that might pretend to be your friend under the guise of a friend. So today, we have to be a little leery of the term friend and what it means, and so I do think that the definition has changed so much, but at its core, it's still somebody that we have a close relationship with, that we share, interests and other types of elements of our own personality and things like that. But as I said before, in most instances, if you had to define a friend or how you got a friend, I would think that you would define it as I said before, a chosen person. Your group of friends, your social network in many ways, if they're all non-related, are your chosen family and then your inherited family, as I said before. So there seems to be an active effort on the part of the people to form a friendship. Yes. Being put together, finding each other, may be by happenstance or accident, but you make the decision, both of you, to enter into this mutual relationship. And I'm not even talking about anything, romantic, just a regular friendship. And every good friendship, I think, it needs to have a 50-50 investment from both sides. If it's not 50-50, there will always be problems one way or the other. If it's a friendship that one side views as 70-30 in terms of importance, but the other side views it as 20-80, that's not going to last long. a friendship, any relationship, really needs to be a mutual investment on both sides, 50-50. If there's any imbalance there, one side either feels neglected or one side feels overburdened. Look, whoa, I mean, we're acquaintances and things, but I don't know if we're friends. Slow down. And the other person says, whoa, I want to be your friend. I'm really enjoying your company. We share so much. I want to be your friend. And if that's shared by the other side, well, then that's fantastic. I mean, that's the ultimate. But if it doesn't have that balance, then you know that there's, slow down. Or, hey, whoa, you know. And friendship also, I think, should take a lot of effort. And also, at the same time, and this is what's so complex about, you know, the human relationship. I mean, my gosh, it's been debated since the beginning of time. I mean, literally, in the biblical stories of Adam and Eve, there were problems, right? but yeah, I think that a real friendship, a real relationship, it should take effort, and at the same time, it should be effortless. And I know that sounds contradictory, but take a step back and think about it. And it really should. It takes effort to, once again, you know, I mean, with family, as I said, we're sort of inheriting these people. They're in our lives immediately. We didn't really have any choice. There's some people in our families that we said if we had a choice, we probably wouldn't choose them. We don't have a lot in common, but that doesn't matter. They're around, they're related to you. There is still a kinship there. But a friendship is, as I said before, something that we choose. And so, as I said, to maintain, because like with a family relationship, and even though there's many people, maybe you have some, I certainly have some, where you're estranged from some people, from whatever reason, that happened because why? It wasn't perhaps a 50-50 relationship. And to what I'm actually saying comes into play with a family member or a chosen friend. It takes effort. Now, like I said, with family, you know, you might automatically see these people all the time, right? If there's a holiday or birthday or something like that, I mean, the family is invited. So just by tradition, you are having contact with that person. Now, that might be the only time you see this person. Perhaps you may see only some members of your family two or three times a year. And if they don't even live in the same city or the same state, maybe you see them once a year or once every 5 years. So then it really, what? It takes what? Effort to keep that relationship going, because distance especially is a major thing. If you can't see that person on a regular basis. Now, once again, we have this advantage of technology that we didn't have before. Yeah, sure, you could write letters and you could, send and talk on the phone. Now, of course, we can email in seconds and text in seconds around the world. And even better, we can FaceTime. We can have video chats, which at least brings some of the human element into it. At least you could see the person. It's one thing to talk to them and hear their voice, which is great. It's another thing to communicate, through the written word, not as personal. Verbally certainly adds a new layer of intimacy and personal contact. But if you can't be there in person, at least seeing the person certainly elevates, the entire experience. As I've said many times here, we are visual animals, and so we relate to visuals more than any other stimulus. And so at least now in terms of either creating or maintaining any kind of relationship, whether it's a friendship or a family one, the ability to talk in real time to one another and see each other at that time certainly can help strengthen a relationship that in the past you might not have had that opportunity, and so maybe things started to fade, even though your motives wouldn't have been that way, but it's just the distance and, once again, the technology. So thankfully we have technologies today that at least help to enhance a friendship if we choose to do that. And this is what I'm saying about effort. Any friendship takes effort. Any relationship takes effort. Even if there is that 50-50 split where both sides say, this is something that that I really like, that's really important to me, it still takes effort to keep that thriving, to keep that energized. We are torn and pulled in so many different directions. We have so many different responsibilities. We have people depending on us. The modern day, person has got a lot of demands, and that's nothing new to today. But once again, technology has added different burdens and different expectations and different responsibilities because we have now more access and more connectivity. And so with that, there's more chance for communication and more chance for people to connect, which is great. But then that also adds potentially more requests, more responsibilities, quicker responsibilities, a number of them, either, the number of requests you have or the speed by which you are expected to deliver on those expectations has risen now because so much of our communication is instantaneous. So effort is huge. But at the same time, as much of effort as it takes, and it has to be 50-50 on both sides, at the same time, it should be effortless. And by that I mean that effort to going into keeping that friendship alive, keeping it vibrant, keeping it new, keeping it active, keeping it important to both sides, that shouldn't feel like an effort. Yes, it takes some work, but it should be work that you don't feel a responsibility to do. It's something that you want to do, which gets to another aspect that I think that a real relationship and a real friendship has. If it's a cherished relationship that you have, you shouldn't want to stay friends. You shouldn't want to be close to that person. You shouldn't want to put in the effort to stay friends. You should need to do it. It should be at your core. It shouldn't be a want. It should be a need. And there's a difference there. There's some similarities in its definition, but to me, the biggest difference between a want and a need is the intensity, is the essential aspect of it. We want a lot of things, but there's only a few things that we need. And those are vital to our existence, the needs. The wants can be many and ever-changing, and they could be out of the realm of possibility. They could be dreams that are never fulfilled. Wants are selfish in many ways. Wants are dreams, but needs are essential. Needs keep us alive. Needs, without them, we disappear. And so in many ways, I think that a real valuable relationship, especially a friendship, because it doesn't have that built-in connection that a family member has, the blood relative kind of relationship, A real friendship should be one that you want to keep going, not because you want to, but because you need to. It should take effort, and it should be effortless. And I think a valuable relationship and a friendship should not be wanted. It should be needed. Because if you need that friendship, then it won't feel like an effort. It will be effortless. You'll put the effort in, and it will feel effortless because you need it. And there's a distinction there. And think about your own life and some of your friends. If I laid that definition in those structures over a friendship, it might be interesting for you to take into account who you consider some of your best friends. You could have a best friend that you've known for 2 years. You could have long friends that you've known for 40 years. They don't necessarily have to be your best friends anymore. You know, there's no guarantees. You know, so often we think about people that come in and out of our lives, and then, you know, times change, people change, circumstances change, perspectives change. Life is an ever-changing journey, and there are no guarantees, and not even guarantees. There's no written rule that somebody that came into your life for a certain period of time necessarily can or should or has to remain in your life for the rest of your life. You say, oh, well, I've known this person for 40 years, and so, well, that's great. And you may have been best friends at some time. But now you no longer are. And as I said, there's many elements there. Proximity. People change. Circumstances change. Perspectives change. Priorities change. You know, so often if a friendship of ours fails or fades away, we think that something was wrong or we did something. And perhaps there was some friction there or whatever. Who knows? But many times, a lot of times, because of some of those aspects that I just mentioned, a friendship can fade away unless it has those other two dynamics that I mentioned. Because even if perspectives change and priorities change and proximities change and people change, if that friendship, if all those are remain true, if there's one or two people that fall into those categories, but it's still a person that you feel you need in your life, you'll overcome those. And then there's some that perhaps, if the need isn't there, then those aspects of proximity or perspective or people changing or priorities changing, they become either, excuses or real reasons. And they really perhaps peel away some layers of the onion to say, well, this person was a very close friend to me when I was 20, but now that I'm 40, we don't share as many things as we do or as we used to. We were maybe put together in a situation that we had no choice of. Maybe you went to somebody to school with. Maybe they were your dorm person, or you worked one of your first jobs and you met this person and they turned out to be very close friends, and all of a sudden someone got a new job and they left and you didn't see them every day, or they moved out of the state because of a job, or as again, you graduated from college, you didn't see this person as much. You may have had some of the greatest moments and greatest memories at all, and you felt like you're going to be friends forever. But then some of these other aspects start to play a role as we get older. And it's nobody's fault. That's what happens. But it does come down to that core thing, that if those relationships were something that you needed, You wouldn't let those outside influences overcome that friendship. But as I said before, you know, you could look at it from a negative view, but I look at it as, you know, there's no guarantees and there's no contract signed that a friend you had 30 years ago has to remain your friend 30 years later. There are different aspects that happen, and then it becomes a decision by both parties. Once again, back to what I said initially, the 50-50 relationship. Do we both, even if a lot of these outside forces come into play, whether it's proximity, changing attitudes, changing perspectives, changing priorities, if that friendship is one that we need, not just want, but need, we will put in the effort to make sure that we overcome those outside obstacles to keep that friendship strong and vibrant and fresh and urgent. And it won't feel like it's effort. We'll put the effort in, but it won't feel like it. You know, when you do something that you don't want to do, you feel every minute of it, right? You know you put the effort in because you didn't want to. And at the same time, there are things that you put in just as much effort and it doesn't even feel like you did anything because you're having a great time. And that's what I mean about a real friendship, a real relationship takes effort but should feel effortless. We all want friendships, but the ones that I think mean most to us are the ones that we need. But here's what I really want to talk about in terms of friendships. In the scenarios that I just laid out for you in terms of how we make friends and decide friends and keep friends or decide to break off relationships with friends, it's our choice. As I said before, it's usually a 50-50 kind of relationship. At least it should be. What dawned on me over the last week or so, it was very interesting that these kind of things happen. Then I took a step back and said, well, wait a minute. I found, taking a different perspective, you know, we're always thinking about our friends, the people that we know, that we love, that have been or still are major parts of our life. But little do we know that there are friends that we have that we might not even realize, that we might not even put into that category. And yet, when you take a step back, they do fall into the categories of friendship. We might have what I might call as accidental friends. Yes, we have the friends that we choose, our chosen family, if you will. But it dawned on me that we have many, even that we're not even aware of in many cases, accidental friends. They may not have the same intensity. They may not even have the same familiarity as our friends, as our chosen friends. But there are people that we encounter that become accidental friends. And I use the word term friend in a very positive way. Accidental in that we didn't choose to become friends with them necessarily, but a friendship of some sort has developed without really that 50-50 requirement that I just talked about, or without that real effort that I talked about. And here's what I'm talking about. So I have regular medical prescriptions that I take, you know, medications. Now, I've been taking some of these for the last 10 years or so. And I go to the same pharmacy all the time, right? And I go to the drive-thru at that pharmacy. And I've been going to this, you know, this same drive-thru and this same drugstore, pharmacy, ever since I started to take these medications. So I'm going there on a somewhat regular basis, at least every month, right? Once a month. And if I take a couple things and they're not really on the same kind of things, maybe I'm going there twice a month. Whatever the case is, when you go to a place on a regular basis like that, whether it's a store of some kind or some kind of any kind of, you know, a place of business or a recreational place, wherever you go, a restaurant. I mean, how many times you walk in and, we always see these people sitting there. You know, we go to the same restaurant all the time. Or the wait staff. You get to come to know the wait staff. Well, and I've gone to a few restaurants where I've come to know many. You know, I go enough where I start to, you know, the people know me. And I know them and we have a nice little back and forth. And when you think about it, while they're not friends, they are friends, right? I mean, say you go to a restaurant. Say you go to the same restaurant all the time. And you start to see the same waiter or waitress, server, if you will. I don't know if waiter and waitress is even, correct anymore. You get the same server to the point where you recognize them all the time. You give a little wave. They've waited on your table enough times where they come to recognize you. They even know your order, things like that. Now, do you consider yourself friends? Well, I don't know in the traditional sense, but if you start to take a look at, well, what is that relationship there? You recognize one another. You've obviously made some kind of connection personally through the routine of going, just the repetitive aspect. You recognize one another. If the recognition has gone past that, and when you come in, you say, oh, can I sit at Tom's table or Sally's table? Now you've obviously made another, you've gone another level. I went to this restaurant maybe to see this person. Or when I'm there, I always sit at this person's table. He or she knows what I order. We have a nice little chemistry. And even for that hour and a half that you're there, there's a relationship happening. Now, you may never see that person again outside of this, out of this one location. But in some ways, are they your friend? You were kind of thrown together by accident, but there was obviously some kind of connection. Would you put that person in your list of a group of friends? And if you wouldn't, why not? So here's what happened. I go like a restaurant. Okay, you know, that one's even a little easier that we all probably might be able to relate to. Because, as I said, you know, in a restaurant, it's a little more of a personal kind of relationship there. When the person's talking to you, you're spending an hour and a half with that person in some way. They're not sitting at your table. They're not learning your life story. But they're interacting with you over an hour and a half or 2 hours, asking you questions, giving you some recommendations, coming to you, you know, sort of, oh, do you need this? There's a concern. I mean, it's a professional concern, but do you want some water? Would you like this? There's a personal interaction. There's many of the elements and the tenets of what you would call a friendship happening in that patron-server relationship, if you will, in that patron-server dynamic, that you could say, well, there's a mutual friendship happening here. Right? At the end of the day, you may say, wow, you've done a great job. Okay? Or, and you leave a tip. You say, wow, that was a great server. I'm going to leave that person a good tip. They were very attentive. They were nice. It was fun. We had a nice little time. They were engaged with us. Well, you know, for that hour and a half or 2 hours, weren't they kind of your friend? But as I said, that's a little different than what I was talking about before. You can have, I mean, we all, like I said, if you go to a same restaurant enough, you belong to a country club where you see the same people, or you go to the same restaurant all the time, you go to the same bar, you get to know the bartender, right? You may never see that bartender, you may never see that server outside of that specific area where you see them. But if you go there long enough, over time, you create a relationship with that person. It might be a temporal relation, a friendship, but it's still a friendship while you're there. It might not extend past the doors of that restaurant. It might not extend past the doors of that bar or whatever the place may be. But in that moment, while you're there, there's kind of a relationship, kind of a friendship. But at the same time, would you consider them your friend? Why not? So to get back to my original story here. So I've been going to the same drive-through pharmacy for like 10 years, a couple times a month. I pull up, and if you've ever gone to a pharmacy, you know, they ask you, your name and your birth date. And then they put it in, and then they say, okay, well, I've got one for you. I'll be right back. And then they go and they get the prescription for the pills, and then they give it to you. But they ask your name and or your birth date, and they plug it in, and that's how they find it. Well, I go to this drive-through pharmacy, and I pull up. And just through, I guess, the amount of time that I've come there over this period of time, this same person, for whatever reason, came to remember my name. I don't know why. Recognized me and knew my name to the point where, after I've always told them, last name, Toronto, James. Well, I pull up this one time, about a week and a half or so ago, and the woman behind the, in the drive-thru, behind the glass, I pull up, and she looks at me, and I'm ready to give my usual answer, Toronto, James, and she says, oh, hello, Mr. Toronto. Whoa. I was taken aback. I said, wow. I said, wow, you know my name? And she said, oh, yeah. And I was like, wow. And then I said to her, after we finished the transaction, and she didn't have a name tag on, I said, well, what's your name? And she said, oh, I'm Jennifer. And I said, well, thank you, Jennifer. And she said, thank you. And off I went. And I've gone back there since, and I got her again, and she said, and so now it's like, hello, Jennifer, hello, and boom, she just sees me, she has her head down, maybe doing some business, then she lifts up her head, oh, hello, Mr. Toronto, boom, puts my name in, I'll be right back, and I'm like, wow, I had no idea, I didn't have her name on a name tag, so I couldn't have, and I recognized her, but I'm thinking back, my gosh, all the people that this woman sees on an hourly basis in that drive-thru, more or less daily or weekly or monthly or yearly. Now, I know I come in there on a regular basis, but I didn't think that she would remember me by name, maybe by face. And I was like, wow, okay. Well, a couple of days after that, I go back to this pharmacy again. Because as I said, I take a couple of different prescriptions, and they're not, they don't get filled at the same time. So as I said, I usually go there at least twice a month. Sometimes it's close. Sometimes it isn't, depending on how many pills or the prescription, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, about 3 or 4 days after this encounter with Jennifer, I pull up and there's a different woman there. And she lifts up her head and she looks at me and I'm ready to give my name. And she says, "Hello, Mr. Toronto." And I'm like, "Wow, you know my name?" And she said, "Oh, yeah." And so I said, "Oh, well, and what's your name?" And, you know, she tells me her name and, "Well, thank you very much," and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I was taken aback, but I was like, wow. And so now I've gone back there and I haven't seen either of them, but I know that the next time I go back, I'm going to say hello. In fact, the second time I saw Jennifer, she asked me, they also want you to validate your address and the last four numbers of your phone number. And I said, "Well, you don't know my address?" But I was just like, wow. And so even this interaction with these two women at the at the pharmacy drive-thru, I think that they're friends. Now, I wasn't aware, and it was probably bad on my part, but they clearly at least remembered the name for some reason. And, you know, and now we have this nice little rapport. I don't think we're a friend. We're not seeing each other outside of the pharmacy drive-through booth, but for the 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 minutes of this transaction, there's a rapport now. There's a quasi-friendship, which I never would have thought. Especially in today's world, you don't know, you know, what boundaries of many places there are. I mean, are you supposed to, you know, do you want to, people today, there's like, whoa, what are you talking about? This weird person was talking to me. You don't know how people react anymore. So I'm assuming that this drive-through pickup for my prescriptions are a business transaction, a transitory regular business transaction. But these two women, these two people, have now made it into something a little more personal, to the point where I know that if I pull in, "Hey, Jennifer, hello, Mr. Toronto." I was even talking to her about something else. Oh, I asked her, "How long has she worked there?" And "Oh, I work here. I also work there." But, I asked her, I told her something. So suddenly now, the ice has been broken. I don't know what kind of a friendship this is per se in the traditional sense of the word. But the more I think about it, the more I say, well, and I even joke with my wife. I said, "Oh, I went to the pharmacy today and my friend Jennifer was there." I even used that term. An accidental friend is not the same intensity as a chosen friend, but at the same time, when I pull in now to that pharmacy, I'm wondering or even hoping to run into my two new friends. Well, so that happens. And it was an interesting and kind of a nice little occurrence. Okay, so now, as I said, when I go to the pharmacy now, to the drive-thru, I say, well, hopefully one of those two women will be there. It'll be nice to see and say hi. And it's just a quick hi. It's a little quick back and forth, a little wave and a smile, and off we go. But I have to say, I think it's a friendship, right? not intended, not intense, but a friendship all the more. And then you say, well, I mean, are there other people out there that I'm not aware of that I'm kind of friends with without me knowing? Well, maybe, because here's another story. Same 2 or 3 weeks in the same little time that this happened, right? Now, I've been going to a regular big box store on a regular basis for, you know, groceries or essentials, things you need. And I go to the self-checkout on a regular basis. Go there once again from a grocery standpoint, or, you know, needing, you know, things like, you know, razor blades or mouthwash or things like that, you know. Go there on a relatively regular basis, right? Been going to this store for probably, once again, maybe 10 years or so. And over the time, every so often, there, you know, in a lot of the self-checkout places now, they do have a person that works at the store that kind of just sits in, you know, stands in there and helps people, monitors, make sure nobody's stealing anything, make sure everybody's doing okay. Is there a problem? Oh, this item won't scan. What do I do with my coupon? My credit card's not working. Where's my receipt? All the little possible glitches that can happen. The person is there to help the line move. Oh, this station's open. You know what I'm talking about. In the self-checking, there's enough of these self-checking things now at department stores and grocery stores. So I've gone in there, and there's a very outgoing woman that I have seen on a regular basis there. She talks to everybody, how you doing? It's nothing intense. It's not anything obtrusive or, creepy. No, she's just making, I think she's trying to make the she's doing a good job is what she's doing, because she's making the checkout thing not only, run smoothly, but she's adding a little personal touch. How you doing today? Oh, do you need help, dear? Da, da, da. Just she has a very familiar kind of manner. And as I said, she's just, how you doing? How's it going? How are you doing? And so every time, you know, with time, and once again, you know, I mean, in this day and age, you don't know what to say. This is an older woman. Maybe she's not older. She might be a few years older than me. I'm not really sure. But, it's not, like I said, it's not like a, you know, 14-year-old kid. It's an older woman. But she's very, personable and very attentive. And, I've come to see and expect to see her there. A lot of times she's there. Sometimes she's not. Once again, it's luck of the draw. It's accidental. But I've seen her enough that when I come in, she always comes over to me and says, how you doing? Oh, hey. In fact, I don't even know if we've even exchanged names, because that's another transaction that's so fast. And, you know, once again, now the people at the pharmacy, I have to give them my name, right? I mean, if you're at a self-checkout at a grocery store or a big box store, you don't really give your name. And I don't even know if they wear name tags anymore. I don't know if the name tag thing has gone out in style at those kind of stores. I mean, when I worked at a Jewel back when I was in high school and in a couple of years of college, we had name tags, and we better wear that name tag. That name tag was, you know, you had to be have that. Where's your name tag? Oh my gosh, you'd get in trouble even if your name tag on. I don't know if a lot of places have name tags anymore. Now, once again, that might be my, shortcoming too. Like, how come I'm not noticing that? But at least at the pharmacy, I had to give my name, and so they there was a connection there. There was a repetition there, and they came to put my name with my face. Okay, but here in this situation, I'm not telling her my name. She's not seeing my name anywhere unless I give it to her. And as I said, I don't even remember if if I looked at a name tag, because if we've had an interaction, it's very brief. I'm over there, you know, scanning my thing. So I'm, how you doing? I'll look up and say, oh, how are you? Have a good day. Then I go back to my business. I put the bags in and I'm walking out. She said, could take care. Okay. So it's a very brief little interaction. We've never exchanged names, but there's certainly a familiarity. No question about that. And I'll always see her in there. When I see her sometimes, she'll wave and things like that. But the interaction is very brief. It's literally just this transactional moment of me being at the self-checkout area, getting to the little station there, doing my six or seven little items, bagging them, putting them in the cart, and leaving. So our interaction is very short, but it's been over a long period of time. You know, once a week or once every 2 weeks, once again, and on a regular, pretty regular basis over the last 10 years. So I know her by sight. I don't know her by name. I'm sure she doesn't know me either by name. She's never called me by name, so she can't know my name. You know, when you go to that, you know, you put your credit card and your name doesn't come up. I'm not wearing a name tag, right? So funny thing happened. So I usually had gone there on my own all the time. So a couple weeks ago, my wife came with me, and so we're in the checkout thing and self-checkout, and the woman was in the corner. And so we go to the thing, you know, to the little station, and I start checking out. And so she walks over and she goes, oh, you got a girlfriend. And so my wife said, well, I'm actually his wife. And I said, oh, I said, this is my friend here. Once again, we didn't even exchange names. And she said, oh, you know, oh, yeah, he's been coming in here a long time, you know. And so we had this little interaction. It was funny because she's like, oh, like, I mean, it wasn't like I was hiding my wife. I came in by myself, you know, but she was like, oh, you know. So she said goodbye. We walked out. My wife and I were laughing about it. I was telling her, I said, yeah, I said, this woman, I said, I've been coming here so often. You know, we have this little how you doing kind of thing going. Well, the next time I went there, most recently, I had a lot of items, and you know, I don't know about you, but I like to do the self-checkout thing when I have a few items and they're not complicated. By complicated, I mean they all have the barcode on it, so you go boop 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 boop. Put it in a bag, pay, and leave. I don't go to the self-checkout, for instance, at a grocery store because most likely I have fruit. And then when you go to the self-checkout, you got to go through that extra couple of steps of weighing it and finding the code number. And if you have a lot of different fruit items, then the whole speed of the self-checkout has been defeated. Whereas the cashiers, they deal with the yellow peaches, and the heirloom tomatoes, and the cara cara oranges and whatever you may be buying. They know those numbers by heart because they get them every 5 minutes of a 4-hour shift. Once again, I know that from personal experience. I was a cashier at a grocery store, at a Jewel for several years. I would know the numbers of the oranges, especially the most, you know, common fruits from the produce, because those are the ones that take extra. Most every other item has a barcode. Even if you go to the deli now, they put a barcode on it. Boop, 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 boop. But the one that takes always a little time is the fruit. You know, sometimes the cashier knows it by heart. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're trying to find the number to get it scanned. They threw that plastic bag. It's a whole thing. In fact, when I put my groceries on the conveyor belt, I put everything with a UPC code, the barcode, first, and then I put all my fruit at the end, and then I put my milk there. Now, once again, I'm a former cashier. I'm thinking of the bagging situation, and I'm thinking of the checking, how the checkout. I'm trying to think if I was a cashier, how would I want an order to be placed for me to have the maximum ease and speed, and the least inconvenience. And so, to me, I put the boxes, boxes, and there's little yogurt cups, whatever it is. But anything that has a UPC code, a barcode, I put that first, because you could now start to get a nice little rhythm going. Especially there's a lot of items. Boop, 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 boop. As I said, I was a cashier in the times even before the scanners, but then I was a cashier during the scanner period as well, when they were introduced. So I'm very particular when I put my surprise, surprise, right? When I put this on the conveyor belt. There's a system, there's a process. I put the things with the barcode first so that the cashier can start to get a nice little flow going, which gets those items to the bagger quicker. So the bags can be bagged. They're not waiting there. So that's then, of course, as I said, you know, the fruit might take a little longer because they might have to look it up, or they might try to scan the thing and they're weighing it. So that slows a little down. But I like to get the thing moving. I like to get those items down to that bagger as quick as you can. So you get all the UPC barcoded items first. Then your fruits and vegetables, which have to be weighed and find that number. And then last, you know, you put your eggs and then your milk. Because that's the eggs are the fragile and the milk is the heavy. And so in the bagging situation, once again, those two items are, you know, either you put the eggs on the top or by themselves. And then do you want the milk in a bag or not? You know, I started as a bagger and I became a cashier. So I'm thinking in both, I've got experience now on both sides of the checkout process. And I'm trying to make that experience as easy and convenient for both of those folks. The bagger getting all these items that would go in the same box, you know, the cold stuff as well in the same bag, cold stuff together. You know, box stuff together that you can stack easier. Oh, believe me, it's a whole thing. So I'm trying to help out the cashier, and I'm also trying to help out the bagger. You know? So so when I went to Target again, the next time I went, after I went with my wife, I had a lot of items. And I had some things that were not, you know, they weren't all barcoded. And so I'm like, you know, I don't feel like, and I also don't feel like bagging 15 bags or 10 bags. There's a lot of big things. So I went to the cashier instead of going to the checkout. So now I didn't even know if this woman was there, because of where the checkout was, I really couldn't see when I walked in. So I went to a line in the cashier. While I'm now being checked out by the cashier, and they're, you know, ringing up my items, and, you know, I'm putting them in my cart as I'm kind of, you know, turning and getting the bag. Guess who walks up to where I'm in the checkout line? My woman from the self checkout. And she walks by and she says, "Hello." Now, I don't know if she was leaving maybe her shift was over. There's a restroom there. I don't know where she came from. I don't know if she saw me earlier, but whatever. But she came by, and she said hello. Now, I don't know if she saw me earlier, if this was a chance meeting, but so the cashier started to laugh. And I told him, I said, "I don't know. She's following me." But once again, here's somebody that I don't know whether she went out of her way to come over and say hi, or, as I said, it was a chance meeting. But regardless, she saw me, and she didn't just walk by. I didn't see her. And so she made a point to say hi. I mean, she seems to be a very friendly person in general. But even the way the cashier reacted, I don't think she does that to everyone. And so, I don't know. Do I have a friend, in quotes, at the store, at the self-checkout line? I think I do. I never really thought about it in that way, but I think I do. And then then, as I've been kind of contemplating this thing, like, do we have a lot of these peripheral friends, that people that we have regular contact with that we don't really consider, but there's a rapport, there's some kind of a recognition, there's a shared time together. And then I started to think back when I was working at my part-time jobs, before, I graduated and things like that. I worked in Jewel, as I said, I was a bagger and I was a cashier. Yeah, I would see the same people coming in. Once again, in a store, in a grocery store, yeah, you're going to see the same people. If they live in the neighborhood, if this is their store, they come in on a regular day, they have a routine, or they have to pick something up, they're in the neighborhood, this is where they shop. It only makes sense. And I'm an observant person, so I would observe it sometimes. You know, you come by, you have a little quick conversation, thank you very much, have a nice day, oh, you're buying this, da-da-da-da-da, or whatever comes up. And then pretty soon those people start to come to your line and they become kind of your regular customers. Are they your friends? I don't know. Are they? You know, I worked at, after my cashier career, I had a part-time job at a health club in Chicago, and I worked more in the suburbs, but I worked in the locker room, you know, sort of behind the counter. You're getting people towels. And so that was a very kind of a social, kind of a job. And so I was supposed to interact with the members and things like that. And so there were people that came in every day. And they were friends. We'd BS. We'd talk. We knew about, over time. I wasn't there all that long. But we talked and we knew about each other. There was a friendship there. Now, when I left there, I never saw any of those people ever again. But when I went to that place two or three or four times a week, and I was there for 3 or 4 hours, I saw those people all the time. Hey, Tom, hey, whoever it is. Now, were they friends in the traditional, definition or the traditional understanding? Well, probably not. Our friendship didn't extend past our interaction of where I had to be for my job and where they wanted to be, for either going shopping for their groceries or going to work out at a health club. So we were kind of thrown together, not by choice, but by repetitiveness, by over time, by regularly seeing one another, we came sort of friends, accidental friends. I've never said before, I've never seen any of these people really outside of those places, but I still remember certain people that would come into my line at the checkout, or some people that were members of the club that I had kind of fun little, rapports with. Were they friends? Well, I don't know if they were friends. They were in that context. At that place, they were friends. And so I just thought, after these two encounters, at the pharmacy and at the store, it really dawned on me that that we might have more friends than we even are aware of, aside from your social network friends, but I mean human to human contact. Friends, and just through familiarity or repetition or being thrown together by need, Same thing like work. There might be some people at work that you were very good friends with, and then if somebody leaves and goes to another job or something, you may never see them again. That's where that effort comes in. I've worked with a lot of people throughout my career. There's a lot of people I've never talked to ever again. When I was there every day, we had a friendship, but I don't know. Was it a work friendship or was it a friendship? I don't know. You have to decide. Once again, elements. Was it a friendship of want or was it a friendship of need? But these kind of, as I call them, accidental friendships are unique because they're really unto themselves. And I just wonder, you know, if you really take a step back, you might start to recognize that you've got more friends, in quotes, than you really thought of. If you asked me who are your best friends or who's your friends, would I say the people at the pharmacy? Would I say the person at the store? No. But when I'm in those situations, yeah, you know what? If I refer to somebody by name, or if I recognize somebody by sight, and we have a little conversation, and it's been over several years, is that a friendship? It might not be as intense, but it's a friendship. I'm just thinking about this because the world today is so divided and there's so much animosity and there's so much chaos going on in terms of interpersonal communications and interpersonal relationships and so many this side and that side and all this stuff going on in the news in the last couple of weeks. And I was like, you know what? With all this division going on, the funny thing is we don't even realize how wide our scope of friends might go, our social network goes. It might even be it might be wider than we even think. We may have more friends than we know. And all we have to do is recognize it. So, little homework for you this week. On your regular routines, whether it's going to a restaurant, whether it's going to a grocery store, whether it's going to a pharmacy, wherever you go on a regular basis, when you go to get gas, whatever you do on a regular basis to the same place in a somewhat regular routine, rather than just going there and for the purpose, take a step back and say, well, oh, there's that person that I recognize. Oh, there's that other person I see here all the time. I don't know. If you don't, maybe you say hi. For all you know, they may say, oh, hello, I see you here all the time. Making friends for the world to see. Let the people know you got what you need. If a friend's out there, everything's all right. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget, if you like what you hear, tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 487. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of my mind to your ears.